We are Earth's mightiest weirdos. Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for making us a part of your day. We're now on Apple Podcasts, over on Spotify. And don't forget to check us out over at our host site, Anchor. Today, we're going to be reviewing the Falcon and the Winter Soldier, the Star-Spangled Man episode. Let us know that you're here. Say hi in the comments. And don't forget to smash that like and share button. I'm joined today by some of the greatest weirdos this side of the Mississippi. I'm driving today because he was a little bit busy. He just came in like John Walker on the Battle of the Big Rigs. But I'm joined by the co-host with the mostest, Brian Lee. Brian, welcome to the show.
What is up, everybody? Sorry, I was running a little behind, but I can't wait to talk about the show.
It's all good, my man. From United We Fan, the one and only Marky Mark, Mark Adams. Hello, Mark.
Hello, friends. I am full of hot takes, randomness, and not a bad hair day.
And we're joined by a real life superhero, Piano Rob. Oh, wait, we're using our real names. Rob.
That's funny. Yeah, the least scary of all superheroes, Piano Man.
What's he coming soon, Piano Man the Ride.
There we go. So gentlemen, we're here on a Wednesday that we did not want to break up the superhero team. Our weirdo in Ethan is not here today. He's here in spirit with us, but it's the end of the month, so he's doing his superhero thing where he's selling cars and taking names. So he's here in spirit. Well, we're running four. So I guess we're the Fantastic Four tonight.
Ooh, oh, I should have worn that shirt. Oh,
smooth.
Smooth. So we just want to get some people in here in the comments. Katie is joining us as always. James is not running tech for us tonight. Thanks, James. So I'm running double duty. I'm driving and running tech over here with comments. But James, hello, sir. It's nice to have you here, even though you're not behind the camera tonight. Rob is saying hi to everybody. Vicky is here. Hey, Vicky. Justin is here. Start up that jam. We're trying, sir. Frankie is here with us as always. What is up? And everybody, I think we're good. Everybody's just throwing up comments at this point. Mackenzie, welcome. And Brian, Fergie Ferg is here from Mouse Ears and Magic as well. So gentlemen, this week was pretty epic. We had a chance to meet the man. It's called the Star-Spangled Man for a reason. So we started the episode with meeting John Walker himself at his old high school, peeling off the name sticker and checking out his football locker, coming out to the band playing.
I'm so glad that it hung in there all this time. Anyway, it's gone.
For Good Morning America. So just initial, I know we did not like him. We said our initial take on him. We were not a big fan of John Walker. Did this redeem it for anybody? Did this scene make him more human to us, or do you still pretty much hate him?
I'll start out of mind.
Go Rob.
As a fan of Marvel and everything Marvel, I hate him. But there is no reason to hate him if you didn't know any of that stuff. If this is like your introduction and he's done nothing wrong yet.
Is it though?
He seems humble. To me, he seems humble enough about it. He seems like he has put the time in and the training and has done his missions. He seems like he was kind of reluctant to take the mantle. He seemed like he wanted to work with them. I am sure that's not going to be the case as the season continues. But I'm saying as far as this episode goes, I think that's a feeling they want people to be like, all right, he's not totally bad yet. That's as far as I'll go to redeem him. I don't know if that's far, it's not far enough, but that's only as far as I'll go.
What do you think, Marky Mark? Did this humanize John Walker for you?
So the writers and producers did the smart thing of, all right, we know people aren't going to like him. So we got to show, I guess that was his wife and he's got the best friend and we're going to make all these things so that you can start to like him. And when I watched the first episode, it was very hard to separate emotion from story. There was a lot of anger. When I watched it a second time, I was like, okay, you know, he's very humble in the beginning, just like Steve was. We saw it. And then Steve himself also had a little bit of ego when the fame got to him. And John Walker, you could see him starting to get into it as well. But, oh, man, whatever slight thoughts I had for him when he when the shrink was like, who's under whose authority? I was like, I hate him. I hate him. When he put the siren on, I was like, I hate him. And then I think the last straw where I was like, Steve would never say that, was just when he was like, stay out of my way. Okay. Yep. We're done. I'm done. How dare you stand where he stood?
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. Like, they did a good job at making him the sympathetic character, if nothing else. Is my volume okay? Do I sound okay? Yep. Okay. They did a good job. Like, I know we don't care much for him, and we never were supposed to. Marvel knew what they were doing. But that drumline marching band version of Star Spangled Man with a Plan, that song is an absolute jam. I love that song so much. I thought that was amazing. Yeah. So seeing that and seeing, we've seen this in the promos for months now of him running onto the football field, giving the guy a high five. And it never dawned on me that this could be a Good Morning America spot. Like, that was really well played out. They gave him Lamar Hoskins, Battlestar. And then his wife, Olivia Walker, is her name. We know that there's going to be racial undertones throughout this series, and sorry, Ethan in the comments says, where's the handsome guy? He's not
Rob's
here
tonight. Right,
he's selling cars. But they, I've had this conversation with many of my friends, one of them being Maya, who joined us on our Black Cinema episode, talking about the racial undertones and systemic racism that they're approaching within this episode. And if John Walker had come out and been straight up just a extremely racist person, then it doesn't give people the pass of looking inwardly and just saying, oh, I'm not like that guy, and just moving on. So giving him the black best friend and a woman of color as his wife, like stuff like that. So they're really starting to make you think from this opening series. But I'm with Marky Mark. We'll get to it when he uses abusive power. He calls himself the government. He abuses his power. He uses the cop sirens, stay the hell out of my way. Like, just stuff Steve would never stand for.
Go ahead, Mark.
I think Steve, and, you know, I always hate these arguments of when people say, I think this person would have thought this. Like, how are we going to know? But I think Steve would have asked people to go in with John Walker with an open mind. I think he would have, you know, he would have liked Sam to take over the role, but I think he would have wanted people to give him a fair chance. But seeing how John is trending, I think even Steve would have been like, you got to be language me.
Yeah. So I have been, I'll throw myself under the bus here. So we have a private, the Marvel Monday chat is now the Weirdos chat. And I've been blowing up the chat with the actor who has, I'm wondering if these tidbits of knowledge are coming out to just make us hate him even more.
It's working.
Yeah, so he made a comment of, I did not watch a single Marvel movie before I did this show or in prep of the show.
His dad was in one. I don't buy that.
Yes,
wasn't the one that irritated me the most from him.
That comment infuriated me. So like most of my, I've perseverated on that all week in that I'm like, come on, you're going to audition for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, never have looked at it. And the reason he gave was so ridiculous that he cited, I wanted to put my own spin on the part. So I didn't, you know, I've never watched them over the course of the last 11 years. Dude, you've never watched a Marvel movie in 11 years for a part that you didn't, that wasn't even created. You didn't even know that it was out there.
You can't have this both ways, man, because one of the coolest things about Agatha Harkness was that Catherine Hahn was able to put her own spin on it because she'd never watched anything in the MCU. So we can't have it both ways. So, other than we love Catherine Hahn and we hate Carl Fredrickson.
I will admit I didn't know that until you told me that about Catherine Hahn. Catherine Hahn, though, does not strike me as the type of person to consume any kind of Marvel until she was probably cast in it. And then at that point, she probably said, hey, you know what? I've gone so long without it. It's like my wife. I'll give my wife a pass. My wife consumes nothing Marvel. And I can accept that because it's really not her. It's not her wheelhouse. You're telling me as a male, as a full grown male, you've never watched a single Marvel movie.
That's your only requirement.
Yeah. Like from me to you, like, give me your man card at this point. Give me your man card. Ooh, was what I would say.
I think I need to start driving, man. This is a
hashtag sense. Mark Valentine does not share the same views as everybody else on the podcast.
Yeah, but that's what I would say to that guy. I'd be like, dude, you have not watched a single Marvel movie in 11 years. And I, again, it's a hot take. Let us know what you think of John Walker. Let us know what you think of the new Cap. Am I being overly critical of him? Am I being a little too brutal? Or do you agree? Do I have a valid point? What guy does not watch a Marvel movie? Not one in 11 years. And then uses that and cites that as a reason of, well, you know, I was just doing that because I didn't want to do research for the role.
Come on. I also think he's lying.
Yeah. I mean, why wouldn't you lie? And you get exactly the reaction that you're getting. You're getting upset about it.
There it is, right there. Mark, yes. There's another reason. There you go. Listen, yeah, I'll spend 45 weird. Minutes complaining about him.
You got to remember, this is an audio podcast now. You got to say what that is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So David Rosen says he wanted Chris Evans' cap suit.
That was another article.
He's trying to get you to hate him. It's working. He knows what he's doing. He's making all this up.
But wait, right. Brian, who's his dad?
His dad?
Yeah.
His ego.
So that is actually what I wanted to do for fun Rushmore. Rob?
Yeah.
Do we have Rushmore music?
Do we have Rushmore music? No, I didn't learn it yet. No.
Tell me something, Rob.
Agatha all along.
People listening at home are going to be like, what's happening? But anyways, so I want to find out everyone's Rushmore of Kurt Russell movies.
Ooh. Ooh, you got to think of all your Kurt Russell movies.
I got mine.
I've got mine.
Go.
Mark, I know which one's on yours, and you and I need to watch it together.
Do you?
Big Trouble in Little China?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So Big Trouble in Little China, The Thing.
Yes.
Escape from New York and Overboard.
Oh, Mark, we're almost 4 for 4. Mine's going to go Big Trouble, The Thing, Overboard. Frankie, if you're watching, you're with me on that. And then Tombstone. That's my number 4.
Ooh. Ooh. Yeah. I'm totally putting Sky High and Miracle in mine.
Yeah, Miracle's in mine.
Yeah.
And Sky High. I absolutely love Sky High.
It's on Disney Plus.
It is on Disney Plus. I like that. I think I have to go Tombstone with you. I feel like I want to have a better fourth, but I'm not thinking of one.
Christmas Chronicles.
No, I can't. I wasn't.
Guardians was 2?
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is on my
Guardians 2 was up there. I thought I was going to beat it, but I don't think I'm going to. So I'm going to go Guardians 2. But definitely Miracle and Sky High. Those are two of my favorites.
There you go. Christmas Chronicles. We got it. Miracle. I love it. Everybody's sounding in on their own random Rushmores here. We got some miracles.
I love random Rushmores, man. Everybody on everybody else's podcast and show is doing random Rushmores because it's great.
Thanks to this guy.
Yeah, thanks to you.
Frankie says, I love Overboard. I love Sky High. Thank you, Rob. Yeah. Nice. And The Thing. Yeah, The Thing is so good.
Sky High is surprisingly amazing. That's one of those really under the radar ones. That's a fantastic movie.
Does anybody remember the Tim Allen one that came out about the same time?
Superhero movie.
Yeah, Tim Allen had one.
Galaxy Quest.
No, stop it.
No. I love Galaxy Quest. Movie,
Home Improvement.
Brian, are you even here right now? Like, are you just
Ghost Dad? All right.
And with that, thank you for that random Rushmore. That was pretty epic and pretty amazing. All right, so let's move on. Everyone hates John Walker.
Okay.
No, John Walker must die. There's going to be a sequel to what's the Brian? John that was Tucker one of your favorite. Die. Yeah, John Tucker.
Yeah.
Brian loves John Tucker must
John
die.
Walker, John Walker must die.
John
yeah.
Walker must die.
I'm in, man.
So let's move on from John Walker and talk about his sidekick, Lamar Hoskins. Lamar Battlestar makes an appearance, much to an eye roll and then a stare from Bucky Barnes. Everybody's got superhero names. Marky Mark, what was your opinion of Battlestar, of Lamar Hoskins?
I don't have a problem with him. He's there with his partner, best friend. I do think at some point he's going to notice his friend changing. Oh man, I forgot Backdraft. Ethan, good job. How did I forget Backdraft?
Oh yeah, you're right.
I think he's going to stay with him, but at some point he's going to notice his friend is changing and not in a good way. And I think it's going to go badly, but I don't have any problems with him.
Put the cat on the screen.
This is happening right now.
There it is. That's what we could hear.
We just had a Flurgan sighting. That we had a Flurgan on air, ladies and gentlemen. If you can't hear it, the Flurgan wanted to get his airtime and sound off on Battlestar. Brian, Lamar Hoskins.
I'm honestly okay with Lamar Hoskins at this point. I think he's kind of just going with the plan. I think he's using his best friend's power to his point, but I mean, I don't necessarily dislike him.
Yeah.
He's capable, and I mean, John Walker's pretty capable too. And we'll talk about that, but his shield game is on point. Like, good thing his shield game is on point too, because Lamar Hoskins would be a dead man right
now.
Yeah,
he saved them from splattering all over the pavement.
That was an awesome move. That was a like kind of Cap would have done that. I like that move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm okay with Lamar Hoskins at the moment. I'm sure he's not going to be a super good guy either. And we're going to talk more about Power Broker versus Flag Smashers and all that kind of stuff later on. But
well, Rob, real quick, before I want to bring something up that Brian just said, but what do you think of Lamar Hoskins real quick?
No, I'm with you. I don't think there's enough information yet. He hasn't rubbed me the wrong way yet. I don't know which way he's going to sway and how far, but I'm with you guys. Let's not waste any more time.
Yeah, so the one thing I do want to bring up about Battlestar in general is, one, it's really cool to see these characters. I fell victim of this when we watched WandaVision, that I bought heavily into the House of M. The House of M did not really come into play. It clearly inspired a bunch of things. So I don't want to rely too heavily on the books, but it's cool to see that they're at least bringing some of these guys in. And that what we're getting with a lot of these guys is you can see, you know, that we have U.S. Agent. You can see the inspiration for John Walker and his costume right there. But then you can see here's Battlestar from the books and Lamar as pictured in the show. The thing that would be really cool, and again, I don't want to go too far down this rabbit hole, but in the books, Battlestar starts out very much as a sidekick. He starts out as Buck, the new Buck, Bold Urban Commando. He then changes his name to Battlestar. He develops super abilities from the Power Broker. And then the two men eventually do diverge. They have a fight. So as Marky Mark was bringing that up, it kind of set that off in my brain. It would be really interesting to see if that plays out here in this series as well, that they start out as friends. They start out as compatriots, and then something happens either with John or with Battlestar. There's a revelation of a situation where the two men have a philosophical disagreement. It would be interesting to see if Battlestar stays in the MCU, if he becomes a super, what role he's going to play moving forward. I don't want to – guys, again, I did enough speculating with WandaVision. I'm not going to get caught up in that.
There's no need to over-speculate. The beauty of this show is they are setting up minor characters that they can feel free to use later down the line, or they're not going to use later. I know we haven't gotten to the Isaiah and Eli talk yet of this episode.
Correct.
But we're going to talk about that. That's another member, a founding member of the Young Avengers, which they look like they're going to set up, who knows, 2 years in the future, 5 years in the future, 10 years in the, they're laying the groundwork, which is what's so smart about it.
Yeah, and anytime that we can get more aliens, androids, or wizards, I'm all for it.
Boom.
I'm all for it.
Doctor Strange.
Listen, Doctor Strange is a sorcerer. He's not a wizard. Okay?
Just a wizard. A sorcerer is just a wizard without a hat. Think about it. I love that scene. I love that scene so much when we finally get Bucky and Sam on the same screen.
I do too.
Oh, it's just so good. And Bucky's hello is, you shouldn't have given up the shield. Yeah. Like watching Bucky just watch John Walker say, I never knew Steve, but he feels like a brother to me. And just the way that hits Bucky. Sebastian Stan is incredible in this show. Just the way he acts. You can see it, everything in his face. I love that man so much. Just him and Anthony Mackie are so good together when they're breaking into that building in Munich. Oh, it's just so good. Like, how are you?
Have we noticed that Anthony Mackie has changed from the Anthony Mackie or the Sam that held group therapy sessions at the VFW and the one who's in this therapy session? He's gotten maybe a little colder, not as open with his emotions.
Well, yeah, but in those, he was running them. He didn't have to share his emotions. Like, he just let other people share theirs.
He shared a little bit.
Yeah, he was in a different place. And before we get too far off Bucky, not only is Sebastian Stan great, but I love that they don't get too depressing with it. He still has so many comedic moments to keep it lighthearted. Aww. It's not like a Bruce Wayne character that's very, very dark, which I really appreciate.
Yeah. And Brett just said, I wouldn't be surprised if the Flag Smashers are early experiments for the serum. Brett, we're going to revisit that later. So just hang tight. I don't want to answer that just yet.
Yeah.
Dwayne, I just want to get to this because we're working backwards a little bit. Battlestar in the books, gets his superpowers from the Power Broker.
Yes.
So that doesn't mean that the Power Broker is going to do that for him in this series. But like Rob just said, he's 100% right.
And to clarify, in the comics, the Power Broker is an individual person.
Yeah.
It sure seems to be a group of people in this show rather than an individual one guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. And Katie says, I'm not sure what to think about Lamar at this point. Yeah, and that's
fair. Well, we just met him, you know.
Yep. Well, yeah, but we just met John Walker, too, and we already know we hate that guy.
Yeah, so, Dwayne says, I love him.
When he winked at the camera, I had a real bad feeling about him. Yeah. Real bad.
Dwayne loves that line. He loves aliens, androids, and wizards. We do too. Bucky is awesome.
I love that Bucky is one of the nerdiest characters on the show as well.
I read The Hobbit when it came out in 1937. Oh, it's so good. So good.
And it's such well thought out writing. You know what I mean? To put that together and it's great.
Is it true that the scene where they pulled closer to each other in the chairs was unscripted? James, if I had to guess, I would probably say yes. And having done Meisner work and chair work as an actor, it was probably muscle memory for them that when they probably went face to face, they were channeling their inner Meisner technique. And that's something that sometimes an acting coach will just tell you to do. So it gave me PTSD. I'm like, oh, they're doing their Meisner repetition right now. So it was good stuff.
It gave me very happy, like Lethal Weapon vibes when they were talking to the shrinks and stuff. That's what I kept thinking.
I just want Bucky to say he's too old for this stuff.
Yeah.
The banter is great. The chemistry between the two of them is wonderful. You know, and I've even when you go back to Civil War, when they're fighting Spider-Man in the terminal, in the airport terminal, and the two of them have that moment where Red Wing takes Spider-Man out the building, but they're stuck to the floor in the webs, and they just look at him, he's like, I hate you.
And don't just fly past that comment. That's their entire relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That fight against Spider-Man, it explains everything. That's what you see a continuation of from there.
Yeah. I love it. Good stuff. We know that it's not androids. It's not aliens. It's not wizards. We do know that it is the Flag Smashers that wind up being, at least for this episode, the main concern for the duo. We have an amazing battle. And now, I mean, I'd really like to revisit now. I mean, we had a great comment. Let me get to it. My apologies to you. I'm trying to drive at the same time and pull up these comments. But Brett says, I would not be surprised if these flag smashers are early experiments for the serum they gave John Walker. I think there's more to their story. Brett, I agree with you. I don't think that they're going to turn out to be the villains of this show. I like their story because I feel like right now what we're getting from the Flag Smashers is an insight into the world post-blip. It shows you the complications again. It's phenomenal. It's fabulous. We didn't get that from Spider-Man Far From Home. We really just saw them come back and it was comedic. But here we now see when you're missing half of the world's population – and resources weren't a problem. Now when they come back in an instant, you know, the food supply is probably low. The medicine supply is probably low. So this is all centered in that question of inequity, class divide around the world. You get to see the real world complications of what's happening. And dare I would say they are, gentlemen, they kind of come off as heroic to many, that they kind of give off this Robin Hood vibe. My friend Mike says he's not digging it because he feels like, again, we're getting with Erin Kellyman, we're getting the Empress Nest treatment with her and, you know, like the rebel vibe. I said I kind of like the way that this is playing out, and it would not make me mad if they wind up not being the bad guys in all of this.
I don't think they're going to necessarily be the only villain, but what they're doing is not correct or legal. While it may be ethical, it's not legal to what they're doing. One world, one people. Their biggest frustration is that the people getting all the focus in the world are the people that had been gone for 5 years. Like all of a sudden, yeah, they are the only ones that need the attention. So it's really interesting from that standpoint. But I to call them not the villain, I don't think that makes them a protagonist either. I don't think I don't think they were smuggling vaccines. I think they were smuggling the super soldier serum. We've gotten a couple questions in the comments of John Walker having the serum already. I don't think he has it yet.
No.
And I think he's, and we're going to probably talk about it, but Erin Kellyman's character, Carly Morgenthau, gets a suspicious text message. I think it comes from John Walker via the power broker. I think John Walker's after the super soldier serum, knowing that's what's preventing him from being a true Captain America. That's my personal thought there. I mean, we've got multiple villains in this show. We could very well be establishing the Thunderbolts, which is Marvel's version of the Suicide Squad, for lack of a better term. So Zemo, we talk about what's going to happen with Lamar Hoskins. He could find his way in there helping out. It's perfect fit for Bucky. There's a couple of different places that they can go, but to call the Flag Smashers not the villains, I still see them as villainous, at least an antagonist.
Rob, any thoughts on the Flag Smashers?
You guys said so many amazing things to hit on. Like, I agree.
Sorry, my brain is everywhere today.
I hope I kept up because I loved every bit of it. They're also, of course, there's always going to be a fight against the government themselves and the captain. That's always going to be the thing. You're going to have one villain that's outside the government that's going to kind of be a villain. Maybe they will, maybe they won't. And then they're also going to fight their own government, which is whatever's going to happen with John Walker. And I'm always remembering the very first Captain America. That serum is also going to always, I'm sure it's the same thing. It's going to amplify what's inside. Mm-hmm. And obviously John Walker already has some qualities that when those are amplified are going to get very bad.
Can I get into that real quick? You reminded me, I wanted to bring that up. If you want to know what the serum is, go back and watch that scene between Stanley Tucci and Chris Evans in Captain America, the First Avenger. He said the serum amplifies what's inside, so bad becomes worse. That's what happened to Red Skull, and good becomes great. And when he talks to Steve about how he's simply a good man, and that's what made Captain America who he was, and everybody only sees the strength and the leadership and the power, and nobody sees that good personality, the lack of abusing that power that he's already very used to doing. Steve never did any of that kind of stuff.
Yes. And the only other thing I'll touch on is And that's such so interesting the way Marvel explores everything, including that, yeah, when some of these people are blipped back, that's not necessarily good for everybody. There's going to be some bad that comes with that. And all the resource things you said, that's a very, that's so great that they do that. And in Spider-Man, they can do it in a lighthearted, funny way. And then in this, they can do it in a slightly darker, more realistic way. So another just nod to them.
Does Marky Mark's mic work? I don't know. Let's test it out right now. Marky Mark, your thoughts on the Flag Smashers?
I am just being an audience member right now, enjoying the theories that I'm hearing. And Brian knows this about me. I love when he gets monologuing because I get entranced by it. And I'm like, God, that's really smart. And I get caught up in it. So I am here. I'm listening. Flag Smashers. No, I mean, what hasn't been said? I don't think they're the bad guys. I
think Satan.
I know they're.
It's
they're
pronounced Satine.
They're not what? Oh man, I'm trying to think of a line Steve said, but I can't think of it. And I'm sure it'll hit me later, and it won't have any like proper timing to come in. But they think they're right. Are they? I mean, it just depends what side of the line you're on as far as if the Flag Smashers are right. I can't wait to find out who that is texting them. If it is John Walker, which, you know.
Well, don't. We're going to get there. We're going to get there.
I already brought it up, so I let him that way. Sorry.
Yeah.
So I think there's definitely more to the story. I think someone's even pulling John Walker's strings. But. Yeah, I mean, Brian, he said it all. I really have nothing else to add.
Yeah, I like the way that they're being set up. Again, not to go down any rabbit holes, but the Power Broker's MO is that he enhances these people for a take of their money in the books, that he creates supers. What he asks for in return is money, just plain and simple.
Well, good thing he wasn't financing Sam, because apparently Sam wasn't making any money.
Yeah. So I would be interested to see if that comes into play, if he created the Flag Smashers, if he enhanced them, expecting them to give them a cut, and they somehow double-crossed the Power Broker.
Brian, you reminded me of a funny meme I saw after that scene with Sam. It was a OnlyFans. They were like, don't act like you wouldn't watch a Sam Wilson OnlyFans. And I was like, good Lord, that's where we've gone with that statement of like, anyway. Superheroes not. I know.
Frankie's back on Mephisto. It's definitely Mephisto, Frank. It's definitely Mephisto. You've been hanging out with me on TikTok way too much, Frankie. I'll tell you that. Can I
take this?
Yeah, go ahead.
So Justin Grant says in the comments, do you think they were really tracking Red Wing? 100% they were tracking Red Wing. And he thinks that he has the right to do that. And then he thinks he's going to find his way into Sam's heart by referencing the big three of aliens, androids, and wizards. Not only were they tracking Red Wing, they were listening to every conversation Sam was having when Red Wing was around.
I don't think it's like, the only cool. way they were tracking him, though.
No, that might not be true. I would agree with that, but they were tracking Red Wing, but I mean, we could take that at face value, but they were listening to Sam's conversations. Like, and it's abuse of power. It's absolutely abuse of power.
I'm surprised Sam didn't think to question that. The guy randomly says the same thing about the big three. Like,
there was just so much going on. Like, there was just so
part of me thought it could have been a running joke in Marvel movies. Like maybe that just became a thing at some point that they say the big three in the government.
True.
I don't disagree with what you said because they were obviously listening to everything, but I thought it might have just been like a running joke amongst them.
I think Bucky would have gotten it. Like,
oh my God, when John kept calling him Bucky, I wanted to be like, stop calling him Bucky. I was so triggered by that man.
What did you want him to call him?
Mr. Soldier.
James.
Okay.
James Buchanan Barnes.
You can call me Mr. Winter Soldier.
You can call me JBB.
They do exactly this, though. They want you to have this reaction, like you don't get to call him that. Like, that's what they want.
Bucky. Yeah. That's like somebody call me Marky. It is not. You can't call me Marky.
It's not happening.
No.
Not happening. All right, gentlemen. This episode did not disappoint in terms of the action-packed sequence. We get what I'm lovingly calling the Battle of the Big Rig, where you have this epic fight on top of two tractor-trailer.
Hang on. I'm going to say a timeout. Brian, I love your shield. I don't like that version of the shield. I looked at photos from all the Caps movies. That shield is different.
Well, yeah, it's different.
The line in the silver, the line in the silver, the little gaps in there, it's different from Cap's shield in all of his movies, including Endgame. But when he brings the shield back, it looks different.
Oh, it's not Steve Rogers' shield. It's Sam Wilson's shield.
But where'd it come from then? Theory me, Brian.
No.
What do you mean?
The Battle of the Big Rig was awesome.
Yes, it was.
It was awesome. So I mean, they do Rogers like I can see Mike's Mike's complaint that Erin Kellerman seems to be the same character as she was in Solo, but they know they're being watched. She intentionally acts like a hostage, so then somebody will come and kind of save her, for lack of a better term, and then she beats the crap out of them. I think, again, they're smuggling the serum. I don't think they're smuggling vaccines, which can look very, very similar and really, really eerily similar to today's world. I don't know. But she, and I want to get to this right now because the comments are on fire all about it. She destroys poor Red Wing, and Red Wing's all gone.
Gentlemen, let's get serious for a minute. Let's just take a moment of silence and remember our fallen brother.
So sad. Go ahead, Rob.
Go ahead. On Red Wing. Listen,
of you listening via podcast, we just had like a 30-second video of Red Wing and his memorial service.
In memorial. I
love the battle sequences in this. I love all the battle sequences. As far as Red Wing goes, yes, he will be missed. I'm sure they're going to rebuild him. But I'll give you my hot take, because this will get you a lot of comments, because I really feel this way. I feel the same way about Red Wing as I do Wally. It's a robot. I don't have much feelings about it.
I agree with Wally.
I love Wally. I hate all of you.
That's how I feel.
Anthony says, one nitpick with the Big Rig fight. I know Bucky jumped in the back of the lead truck, but that is a terrible strategy. Hey, let's completely alert the truck behind me.
I'm completely with Anthony on this. He jumps into the front truck and they don't even care. Yeah, I noticed that too.
So could I let me say something that really annoys me. It's not a Falcon and Winter Soldier thing as much as it is. I just think any film, when you have a person who starts out as a villain and then becomes a hero, when you go back and you watch him as a villain, he is unstoppable. And like now you see him on top of the Big Rig and he's getting manhandled. Where was the Winter Soldier that was like lighting everybody up? I mean, they had like an entire platoon.
He has a conscience now.
Yeah. Like,
but he's like a robot.
Jiminy Cricket. He was he was a robot before. Now he's Bucky Barnes.
I get that, but like he hasn't slowed down.
You got to remember, he went through a lot of trauma. He's still trying to figure himself out, and he's still trying to. The White Wolf is still not that strong yet. And
you go to Wakanda for a while and come out White Panther.
He's coming. He's rebooting still. We can't all reboot quickly.
Rob, is R2-D2 just the robot?
Ooh, what a potty mouth in that droid!
Oh God. You picked, I think, the one robot I really care about.
I know, right? I was thinking that too.
God, yeah, I'm like, I don't know why. I don't. R2-D2 is different.
Is it bad that the first robot I thought of was Robin Williams from Bicentennial Man that I was going to bring up and be like?
I just thought you were thinking Robin Williams and robots.
That's one Robin Williams.
Not that one.
Movie. I hated that movie. I didn't. No, still a robot.
Still a robot.
Guys, rest in pieces, Red Wing. Amazing scene on top of those big rigs. For 2 weeks in a row, the action sequences were just like a big budget blockbuster. Keep them coming, Kevin. Keep them coming, Mr. Feige. All right, guys, let's talk about what I thought was really the heart of this episode. This was the moment that I think both episodes have had moments that really made you take pause and really reflect on something much bigger than the action. This was Isaiah Bradley, the introduction of Isaiah Bradley, the Black Captain America. I'm not going to monologue. Instead, I'm going to throw this over to you first, Piano Rob. Your thoughts, your take on Isaiah, your thoughts on this scene, anything that you gleaned from it. Go ahead, my man.
I feel like it's almost even unfair to ask because that was so deep. That was such a deep, how much trauma that man must have went through over 30 years. Because it basically sounds like he was experimented on and then used for whatever missions, almost like Bucky or anybody else, which is why I think Bucky has that connection to him, that he doesn't want to out him in any way or tell anybody that he exists, because he doesn't want to put him through anything else. Because how much did he go through? I mean, how do you walk around with that weight? Like, there's no words to say to walk around with that weight.
Marky Mark.
I think it's just Marky.
Oh, man. All right. Anyways. Isaiah, the actor, is brilliant. He was on the show Supergirl, and
Carl Lumley is the actor.
Thank you. He played Martian Manhunter's dad, and he was a great actor. And he didn't get a full chance to really. Just this scene here blew me away, and he was very underrated in Supergirl. I wish we had seen more of him. They kind of faded him out. I understand he wasn't like a main character. He was just a dad trying to teach him the Martian ways. But he's only in this show for what, 3 minutes? Mm-hmm. Not even? Yeah. And you just see his posture, the look in his eyes when he says, they threw me in prison and took his blood and experimented. Even his people, Hydra, and you just saw the pain on him. Like, I know we're going to see more of him. You can't just, if Marvel just gives us that one scene, I will be very disappointed. But that was that's got to be up there with one of the most like powerful short scenes ever in a Marvel movie.
That just hit. Yeah, I agree. It hit me. Brian.
So,
Brian, what were you giggling at 2 seconds ago?
It was an odd sentence when you talked about said, something about being a Russian or like a Martian.
Teaching him his Martian ways. It was kind
of it was a funny sentence. Like,
so in the show, like real quick for all those people who don't care about DC shows.
Remember that stupid Martian.
I've seen it, so I'm with you.
Okay, so the Martian Manhunter really didn't know. Remember where you came from. He couldn't remember where he came from. So he had to help him remember what life was like on Mars.
He came from the Snyderverse.
I believe, like, if you watch the Disney movie, Mars Needs Moms might help you out with his backstory. But anyways, yeah, he was a great dad. Mark, any hot takes on Mars Needs Mom?
No.
I'm sorry. That was my fault. Derailed us from one of the most powerful scenes in this episode because of that. I'm sorry.
I brought up Mars Needs Moms.
It's a Martian Manhunter and Mars Needs Moms.
Bring us back, Brian. Bring us back.
Sorry, Isaiah.
He bears a striking resemblance to Diane Lane. Isaiah Bradley scene, it had a lot of real world comparisons to this. I believe it was the Tuskegee experiment. Many African Americans were experimented on. Many of them died and some were imprisoned. I'm not going to go any further into that because I don't know all the details of everything. But it had a lot of that real world experience, for lack of a better term. And he was doing everything that Steve Rogers was doing. They talked about how this happened during the Korean War, and the Korean War was not that long after World War II when Cap went on ice. So there was another Captain America really quickly after Steve Rogers, and Steve never even knew. Bucky says Steve never knew. And Isaiah Bradley was thrown in jail and he came out. And then Eli Bradley, is who answered the door. And as Rob referenced earlier, Eli Bradley is Patriot. He's one of the founding members of the Young Avengers. Who else is in the Young Avengers? Well, we've got Stature, who is Cassie Lang, who has already been recast in Ant-Man Quantumania. Wiccan, Speed, Billy and Tommy from WandaVision. We talk Stature. And then the other big one is Kate Bishop, who is being introduced in the Hawkeye series later this year.
Yep.
So get used to seeing Eli Bradley's face would be my assumption that we've got the Young Avengers coming. And I would expect that they knew this, so they probably already cast that actor as Eli Bradley. So again, that's mild speculation, but it makes a lot of sense. But when Sam puts two and two together, when Isaiah Bradley throws that, what is it, an ashtray or whatever it is, into the wall, Sam kind of puts two and two together saying, how could you never tell me this? And I do expect we'll see Carl Lumley on our screens again. I think we're going to have a very powerful scene between Sam Wilson and Isaiah Bradley and what Isaiah Bradley went through. I'm very, very curious. But he was doing the same thing Steve Rogers was doing. And instead he was in the comic books, he was imprisoned because he was accused of stealing the suit, Steve Rogers' suit. And that was kind of what they did. And then they performed experiments on him. It's probably from Isaiah Bradley's blood where this super soldier serum is actually coming from.
Yeah.
Can I make some predictions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go along the lines with what you were saying, because I thought of this before, but I think Anthony Mackie's going to get some type of permission in a way, or an acceptance from Isaiah. And that's what's going to make him feel okay to take it. And as far as the blood goes, I think you're going to see something with his blood and Eli. Like, it was similar in the comics. I think there was some type of transfusion in the comics. But I think something's going to happen there, and that's what's going to turn Eli by the end of the series.
It also, kind of like Monica Rambeau, had to deal with Luke Cage as well.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening. That'd be interesting, though.
I would love to see Luke Cage. I would love to see him, but I don't think they're going to do it because of the Netflix shows still.
So they have control there now.
They do.
So this scene for me was just really heavy. It was really deep. It was really solemn. It kind of set up the whole idea of, gives you a little bit more insight as to perhaps why Sam turned down that shield. Was not just about him not having faith perhaps in himself, but kind of thinking to himself, can America accept a black superhero? Can they accept the black Captain America? And then I don't think that the scene was put in there for, you know, it was put in there to me for that reason, that it kind of spoke to even the real world backlash that you had post Endgame, where there was a contingency of people that were not happy to see Anthony Mackie take over the mantle of Captain America. I think that this was there purposefully to talk at us and, you know, to kind of say where art imitates life a little bit. So it really hit me in the feels from that perspective. But then I thought the levity in the scene that followed it was really welcomed, the joking in the therapy session, because we needed to laugh then, because that was really, really heavy stuff. Because you went right from that scene to Sam getting profiled.
Right.
So it was like boom, boom. And then the irony of it is it's not him that goes away in cuffs. It's actually Bucky that goes away in cuffs. But those two scenes back to back, like those were they were the heavy scenes. Those were the heart of this episode.
Well, and think about Sam being racially profiled, like you were just talking about, is like, that's what happens. And the loan officer, same thing. They didn't recognize Sam. Yet the man over in Tunisia recognized Sam immediately and thanked Sam for being an Avenger and bringing back his wife. So, I mean, some of it, I've seen it called heavy-handed. I think sometimes it needs to be for it to click for some people.
Oh, no, but I agree with that. When I say heavy-handed, I don't mean that in a negative way.
Right.
I think that those scenes needed to be there. I really think they needed to be there. If only to speak at that contingency of people that did not want to see Anthony Mackie inherit the shield. It's like, you know, how dare you kind of say that? So, sorry guys, we're getting a call in. I don't know if you can hear that on your end, but I heard it on mine. We had a FaceTime come in the middle of this, but Yeah. Dwayne says, everybody remember to smash that like button and thumbs up and share the stream. I agree with you, Rob. I think Isaiah is going to be a key component in letting Sam, in getting Sam to believe that he is ready to become Cap. I wouldn't be surprised if Rhodey is involved in that conversation as well. I love that, Anthony. That's a good take. I really like that take. Mackenzie says, I think Sam is amazing and will do great as Captain America. I do miss Chris Evans. I think we'll always, you know, I love Chris Evans, but I'm really excited. And now seeing him in these first 2 weeks, I'm really excited at the nuances that Anthony Mackie brings to the character. I like that. Mike from Mousepiration Podcast says, I don't like Anthony Mackie as this kind of an actor. I think Sebastian Stan is more interesting to watch, but I think it's also more so about the characters. I'm not invested in the Falcon yet. Fair. Fair enough. Very fair. Chris Evans,
I came into the show invested in. I came into the show invested in Sam Wilson. So, I mean, I can't say there's anything in the two episodes that has made me more invested, but I was already pretty invested in that character since On Your Left in the first 10 minutes of The Winter Soldier. So
the scene leads into a pretty comical, and then again, they make you laugh only to make you get real serious again. In that therapy session. So somebody paged Dr. Sigmund Freud because these guys need a psychoanalysis. We have the two men that sit. They sit far apart from each other. The therapist suggests they get closer. It's a funny then exchange as they get uncomfortably close to each other. And then Bucky has a let's call it a moment. Let's call it a moment. Marky Mark, the therapy session, your thoughts on that?
I mean, I was really glad of that scene. People can finally see what it's like for Brian and I to record an episode of United We Fan, the podcast. We end up just having a staring competition to find out who's right on a certain take. And when I just want Brian to open up and get closer and open up his feelings, he just closes up. So I'm glad people got to see what it's like to be a podcast host with Brian.
Biopic.
Yeah, you know what? Okay, what is it? Biopic Henry Cavill.
Henry Cavill, biopic, yeah. And Kevin Feige.
And, yeah. and new on the United We Fan Plus the other day, Poke Bowl instead of Poke Bowl.
It's not Tuna Poke Bowl?
It's Tuna Poke Bowl. It's not a Poke Bowl. That sounds like something we shouldn't be talking about on a Disney show.
Isn't that a Pokemon?
Yeah, Tuna Poke Bowl. Am I wrong on that?
No, there's a little accent mark over the E.
I have failed you. We are going horribly off the rails right now.
Can I get back to the therapy session?
Yeah, okay. Brian,
We need one.
The therapy session was, I think, you needed. I didn't want Bucky to keep asking about the shield. I'm hoping this is the last time he'll ask about it, and he finally got all of his emotions out there. And I think it's Sam saying to him and to the world, you don't know what it's like to be me, to be given that shield. I know what comes from it or comes with it, with how I look, who I am, where I come from. Steve Rogers was an all-American boy, and they made him the Star-Spangled Man. Sam Wilson is already a man, and the times we're in, it's not easy for him to carry the shield. He knows that. He knows he's not ready for what's to come with it. And I think Bucky more so also is dealing with his inner demons. And he said it, he's like, you know, if Steve was wrong about you, then he's wrong about me. So I think Bucky is still trying to figure out who he is. So that scene was more than just about the shield, obviously. It was more about Bucky trying to tell himself every day that he is James Buchanan Barnes, not the Winter Soldier, but, you know,
and Steve. And make amends.
But Steve told him, you know, you're Bucky, but what if no? What if I am the Winter Soldier? So that's what that scene said so much without saying so much.
Brian?
I'll let Rob go first before I monologue for a minute.
I think, of course, it was about more than the Shield. To Bucky, that Shield is Steve. Like that could be his ashes in an urn or something. Like that Shield is. So it was like it's like it, he just threw it away. Sam to Bucky threw away Sam, and then that and then exactly what you said. But it's the major line. Bucky needs to hear from somebody that he's okay. He needs that. That assurance, and it's amazing after all these years, but he really needs, he's having these nightmares. He's got nobody to turn to. If Sam becomes the next Captain America, in essence, he's going to become, I don't want to say he's going to become Steve to Bucky, but along those lines, he needs that brother relationship from him. It's a really, and men don't just talk like that. So Bucky's not going to go up to Sam and say, my feelings are hurt. He's going to make it about the thing, about the Shield. Oh, it's about the Shield. Instead of just saying, you're breaking my heart. No guy, he's not going to say that. He's a man. Go ahead, Brian.
But he comes out and he says it. So if you can pull up Anthony's last comment for me, please. It says, I am very pleased that this show is going to get at least one person in America that America has a race problem. Everyone needs representation. And I believe a new audience is much needed. This show is trying to show not only a race issue, but systemic racism. John Walker has no right, or excuse me, John Walker has no reason to believe he doesn't deserve this Shield. Bucky says, have you ever jumped on a grenade? And he responds with, yeah, four times actually. But then he explains that his helmet can take the concussion, stuff like that. It wasn't about self-sacrifice. It was just about everything else. John Walker feels that he has earned this position. All of us watching the MCU play out don't feel that he's earned it because we feel that Sam has earned it. But John Walker isn't questioning the why me of everything, nor should he. But that's what they're trying to get us to think about. So I wanted to touch on that before I, but Rob's absolutely correct when he talks about the Shield being the thing and he comes out and he says it. We get Bucky's vulnerability showing and he says, if Steve was wrong about you, then he was wrong about me. Which means Bucky doesn't even believe in himself and being able to turn a new leaf and become James Buchanan Barnes again. He doesn't believe that he can leave the Winter Soldier in the past. The only person who believed it was Steve Rogers. And Sam, I don't believe Sam does not want to take on the Shield only because of a matter of race. I do not believe that. I think Sam also, the government wants a yes man. And Steve Rogers could get away without being the yes man because he was Steve Rogers. He was on ice for 70 years. He was a comic book hero, just all those different kinds of things. And Steve showed that he was not a yes man in Captain America, the Civil War, when he would not sign the Sokovia Accords and everything else beyond that. But Steve had earned that right. The government wanted a yes man and John Walker is that and Sam is not. Brian, I think race is playing a role there. Go ahead.
Let me throw this at you too to kind of add to what where you're going. Let us not forget that when we meet Sam in the Winter Soldier, he's a man that is very much trying to heal, that he's going through some post-traumatic stress of his own. He's trying to reconcile his time of service with the military.
And his friend Riley specifically.
Yep. So I would say that some of that may also be he has been a company man. And he's gone through the Sokovia Accords. He's somewhat has been liberated by Steve's fight more so than being tethered to a flag. He's been more tethered to like what's right and what's wrong. Do you think that there's a fear in him to pick up the Shield, knowing that post Sokovia, that there will be a degree of if I have that Shield now, there will be people that I will have to answer to. And I would rather be on the side of right and wrong than to just be a guy who obeys orders again like that guy's doing.
I like the sentiment of it, but in the grand scheme, what's the very first thing that we see him doing in the first episode is acting for the United States military in Tunisia. So I don't know if it's all about that or not. I think that's a big part of it, but I think Sam, it's just as much of a self-confidence maybe than it is anything else. And I mean, I think that David says all of John Walker's qualifications are external. We know that Steve was originally chosen because of who he was on the inside, a good man, to quote Dr. Erskine. We don't know if John Walker is a good man. I'm guessing not. Yeah. Probably not. I would agree. I would agree with that completely with what David said. But
yeah, David, that's an amazing point. I just watched the first Avenger again this weekend, and so I loved that sequence with Tommy Lee Jones, like kind of saying to Stanley Tucci, no, not him, because he's not passing any of the physical none of the physical tests. He can't do anything. I mean, he shouldn't even be on that base. He's an asthmatic, but he wasn't there because of that. He was there because of the qualities that they see on the inside. There were a lot more. Yeah. Yeah. So I love that. I love that take, David. I want to thank you thanks for putting that up. Thank you guys. Just as an aside, thank you for those of you who engage. We love the live aspect of this show. Thank you for those of you who put up comments, you interact with us. If you have any questions or comments, don't forget to light up our comment section. Let us know what you think. We really enjoy that aspect. We love to fan out with you guys. We love welcoming you to the show. You're weirdos just like us, and we thank you for being weird. Thank you so much. So, guys, speaking of qualities, maybe bad qualities, there is a line that this was for Marky Mark. So I'm going to start with you on this because I know that this was the moment that you even referenced before. This was a big turn for you. This was a turn off. Some people have turn ons. This was a turn off for you when he says, stay the hell out of my way, when he's trying to get Falcon and Winter Soldier to work with him. When they say, no, you know, we don't want to team up, he says, stay the hell out of my way. It has spawned thousands of comical TikToks. This lit the internet afire. Marky Mark, what did you take of this moment?
I think we finally got to see the real John Walker. I think it's one of the rare moments of that's who he is. So, yeah,
I agree.
The stuff on Good Morning America, that wasn't him. The stuff in the locker room, it was private, but you know, you're still on even then with your best friend and your wife. But that moment there, a moment came out. So So it. Whatever little doubt I had, all right, maybe he's not a bad guy yet. That line there, I was like, yeah, that's not a good look for Captain America.
No, I agree. I think that was a window into the real man. I think that when the lights were on and Good Morning America was interviewing him, I think that was a facade. That was, to me, that was the real John Walker. I agree. Piano Rob.
I'm with you. They, again, Marvel takes their time. They don't want to just say he's a jerk, here we go. They want to give you a little something and a little back and forth. And I don't have much more to say. I mean, I agree with you guys. That's what it is.
Brian? Nothing to add. Nothing to add whatsoever. Mark nailed it.
Yeah, I agree. All right. So gentlemen, in the last scene, we hook up again with the Flag Smashers. They are on the tarmac. They are loading a plane up with the latest spoils of we don't know what they had, but whatever they had must have been important because they receive word that they're being tracked. One of the Flag Smashers who we've just met makes a heroic sacrifice. They built it up like it was a really important person. I didn't feel
heroic
that as
much. In quotes.
Yeah, I didn't feel that moment because you know he sacrifices himself for the group. That fell a little flat to me, but it was kind of neat to see that they have a bond and there is a brotherhood there that, unlike some other criminal organizations, that they'll just throw their personnel and could care less who dies. It's just collateral damage. It appeared that was there to, in my opinion, that was there to set up that they are they have love and emotion for each other. It's a brotherhood. And then he gets wasted after dropping a telephone pole. I don't know why he dropped that pole and then stood there to only get
Mark. I wrote that down. It shocked me. He didn't need to die. It's like they wanted to make him a martyr, but they didn't film it right.
I didn't understand that. Like you've already, like they can't get to you. They can't get to you. You dropped a telephone pole. Why wouldn't you run at that point? You're a super soldier. Run fast, get on the plane.
Nah.
But he wastes his life. And then, we get a call. They pick up the phone. and there's the line, the delivery of the line is they got away. I wanted to speculate, who do you guys think is on the other end of that phone? Brian.
I think it's too on the nose to be John Walker, but I think it's John Walker's people. They're trying to make him a super soldier. I think it's simple as that.
Do you think we're going to get a moment where the enemy of my enemy is my friend moment, where Sam and Bucky have to team up with the Flag Smashers?
I think that moment is Sharon Carter. She was called an enemy of the state. If anybody that we know is going to be united with the Flag Smashers, maybe not in deed, but at least in mentality, it's going to be Sharon Carter.
So you think she's going to bring those two worlds together?
Yes.
I do.
I do. I agree with you. I like that take, man. That's a good take. Rob?
I agree. It could be that. It could be some version of the pawnbroker. It could, you know, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if that's going to be a person or a group. I don't know if somebody's going to be undercover. Is a Sharon Carter going to be involved in something undercover one way or another, or something weird on the phone? Who knows?
Who's the pawnbroker?
Power broker.
Excuse me.
I was stuck on History Channel there for a bit.
That's what I'm thinking of in my head.
Stars. Yeah,
I'm sorry. Stars.
I'll give you $2 for that take, Rob.
You know what I meant. but it's too early. And again, I don't want to go down the weird rabbit hole. We did it so badly with WandaVision. I have a feeling we're going to find out very soon, and it might not be a big deal at all.
I don't see that as a big deal. But it's just a fun little speculation that, I don't know if it's John Walker. I would think it is, that there's going to be a surprise, that you would think that it would be the power broker. But I like Brian's take. And the more I think about that one, that's the one I hope it is. That's the one I hope it is. Let us know who you think is on the other line in the comments. Dwayne says that it's the power brokers. That was John Walker. That has never been told. No.
I feel like that's a good band name, the power brokers.
I like Robin it.
And the power brokers.
It's the astrophysicist. Dwayne agreed with you.
I don't even know who Anthony's going for there.
Sharon Carter is the leader of the Flag Smashers.
No.
Laughing out loud.
The leader, not so much. I can see her absolutely agreeing mentally. I think Sam's kind of there too. Like, Sam is already justifying it to Joaquin Torres in the first episode of when things get worse, when they talk about resources, when things get worse for one people, it gets better for another, or vice versa, however he says it. But Sam could come along. But that doesn't justify – the ends don't justify the means always, which is what prevents me from calling the Flag Smashers a full-blown protagonist and pulling another solo.
Yeah. All right, Brian, so you want to set this one up for us?
So they talk about – yeah, so they talk about the man who knows all the secrets of Hydra. And in Civil War, when Zemo talks about how when Black Widow poured all the Hydra's – history onto the internet at the end of the Winter Soldier, nobody poured over the history of Hydra more than Baron Zemo. He's going to know just about everything he needs to know from, Anthony said he meant the aerospace engineer. That makes more sense. So maybe it is Reed Richards. So Zemo knows the history of Hydra. He's going to spark some sort of compromise of, you get me out of this prison and I'll help you. Kind of the start of the Thunderbolts is my expectation. But I don't know. Zemo, he's sitting, and did anybody notice the cell? I know Rob noticed the cell that helmet Zemo was sitting in. Rob, what cell was he sitting in?
The same that Leia was sitting in.
Yep.
On the Death Star, cell 2187. So that was a cool Star Wars Easter egg.
I thought also his little lock, it looked like Hal from 2001. It was the little red circle. Nobody else? No. Okay.
No. Hey, so the parallels.
Where's the cricket soundtrack when you need it?
The parallels are really cool. So it's that 2187. So here's a little wish for me. Knowing how Leia is sprung from the Death Star, I hope that crossover or that Easter egg goes a little further. I don't want to see him sprung by some kind of deal. I want to see Zemo broken out. Han Solo.
Everything's fine down here. How are you?
Yes, there you go. Luke Skywalker style. If they can do that next week, Kevin Feige, please make it happen. Please make there be some epic break out and they're like in a trash compactor or something. Please, please, please make it happen. As from one Star Wars geek to another, my good sir.
But Zemo's going to give him the insight to Hydra that they're looking for. We're going to learn more probably about those other super soldiers that were on ice in Winter Soldier that didn't make it out alive. We're going to learn a whole lot more.
Yeah. Yeah. Amber is here in the shoe flyboy. Nice. Amber. Amber is another one of our resident Star Wars fans. I love it. Yeah, guys, this episode was so good. I probably watched it a total of 7 times. If you consider like all of the times that I just stopped and started, it's probably more than 7. I'm all in. I am all in. I love this show. I love the narrative of it. Love the characters. Whenever I get mad, it's like when you get a good villain, it makes a show. You know, everyone loves Game of Thrones for Joffrey. You hate Joffrey, but you love to watch and you root for him. And when he croaks, it's just so satisfying. So I'm rooting against John Walker. I'm really excited for what we're going to get next week. I can't wait for Friday, man. I cannot wait.
Thank you, everybody, for following us to Wednesday night. We'll let you know soon when next week is going to be as well. But we appreciate everybody tuning in.
Yep. And pretty soon we are going to settle. The weirdos we're going to find a home and a night that works. We're just kind of shifting around the multiverse for a few weeks until everyone can get their schedules for the spring kind of squared away. But thank you so much. And don't forget, if you missed any part of this, you can check us out at an audio only replay. We are now on Apple Podcasts. We're on Spotify. And then our home app is Anchor. So you can download us. If you would, we would greatly appreciate to head over to that audio podcast, leave us a 5-star rating and a review, click the subscribe button, and share our weirdness with your friends. If you know people that love to talk Marvel, please invite them. What we love about this show is it really was for the 4, 5, 6 of us, it was just a chance for us to sit around and talk about something that we really love. Piano Rob, thank you so much for joining us again.
Always fun, man. I love. We could do this for another 5 hours, but I know nobody would listen.
I know. At least the first 3 episodes aren't snoozers. Yeah. So Derek was not a fan of the first few episodes of WandaVision, so he's enjoying this. Good night, Katie. Good night to everybody, gentlemen. Thank you so much again. What do we say? Excelsior, right?
For the children.
For the children. Take care, everybody. Good night.